You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we are back here with another episode on what's going to be our final 2019 season recap for the Ravens. We've gone through almost the entire season, and today we only have one single regular season game to talk about and to get into what happened, and that is the final Week 17 game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this was a game that was pretty interesting because the Ravens had none of their starters playing, or at least not a lot of them. They sat players like Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram, and a lot of those guys. So we'll get into all of that, and then in the second segment, we'll be talking about, unfortunately, the divisional round. And I know that's a tough game to talk about, but we've had a lot of fun here with these 2019 season reviews, and it's almost about time we talked about a loss, and this is the toughest one to talk about, but we're just going to dive into it again. What went wrong? Why? What happened? Happened. And I think it's important to talk about. I know we've talked about it, especially a lot after it happened originally, but diving back into it now, we've had a chance to calm down, assess, understand, and I think getting into it now and understanding what happened, that's a pretty important part of everything. So we'll do that in the second segment, and then finally, in the third segment, we're just going to be taking it from the takeaways perspective, just reviewing everything that we talked about over these last few weeks, and understanding how the Ravens were able to do so well, how they were able to pull out gutsy wins, how they were able to blow teams out, where their losses came, where their mistakes were, what it means for next year. A lot of stuff to take away. So we're going to dive into it right away. But before we do that, you know the drill. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there is a podcast, we are right there waiting for you. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnRavens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. So with all that being said, let's jump right into this final regular season game for the Ravens, the Week 17 game at home in some pretty bad weather against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Ravens ended up winning this game 28-10 in a game where it was an interesting one because the Steelers obviously know Ben Roethlisberger. They were riddled with injuries, just like the Ravens were for part of the year. I mean, the Ravens, no Tony Jefferson, no Tavon Young, no Deshaun Elliott, no Pernell McPhee. Now, the Steelers lost their leader in their quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger, but James Conner was also out for this one. He's been pretty injury-prone throughout his entire career, and look, I think James Conner is a phenomenal player, but you have to look at it from a perspective of, is he contributing on the field? Now, he's still on his rookie deal, so there's no harm, no foul. But they're taking up a roster spot with a guy who isn't playing a ton, and when he's healthy, hey, he's already been a Pro Bowler, right? So why not keep him on the roster? There's a lot of stuff to talk about with James Conner. The Steelers might be in the market for a running back in the second round. Now, they don't have their first-round pick this year because they traded it for Minkah Fitzpatrick, but they could look at a J.K. Dobbins in the second round, a very talented runner out of Ohio State, and say, look, if James Conner isn't going to be on the field, he's not going to help us, so we need to find help from elsewhere. Dobbins could be an option for them, but that's steering away from the actual purpose here and talking about this game. No Ben Roethlisberger, no James Conner. Juju Smith-Schuster was just coming back after an injury that kept him out for a few games, but for the Ravens, it was almost like their B squad. This was pretty much the Steelers A squad, or what they had of an A squad, against the Ravens B squad. Now, for the Ravens, Robert Griffin III got the opportunity to start in this game for Lamar Jackson. Now, obviously, the huge decision, the big decision that came with some good responses from Ravens fans and experts and analysts were, would the Ravens rest their players or would they start them? Now, the Ravens had locked up their bye with the win in Cleveland. We had talked about that last week. But with Baltimore, they had an interesting dilemma because with that bye week, and with the Steelers, if they rested those players, plus the week to prepare for Tennessee, that's a lot of rest. That's about 3 weeks of not playing football, just under, I think. So being able to have that much rest yet, it's amazing for a body, just a human body, a person's body to heal, to get right, get rested. But there's almost an argument that, hey, that could be a little bit too much time away from football activities. And ultimately, as we'll get into next segment, that probably wasn't the case for the Ravens losing, but it could have been a factor. Now, you could argue there were a lot of injury scares, I guess, in this game. It seemed like every time Robert Griffin III went down, I was like, oh, is he injured? Is he injured? But the weather was terrible. If you put Lamar Jackson out in that game and he gets injured, the backlash would have been astronomical. Outrage everywhere. I think ultimately I'm going to defend John Harbaugh and say he made the right decision. Now, could you put Lamar Jackson out there for a possession and say, hey, go play some football? Yeah. But as I've talked about, football is an extremely dangerous sport. There's no denying the fact that anybody can get injured on any single play. You put Lamar Jackson out there, the first snap could be a handoff to Mark Ingram. He falls. Obviously, Mark Ingram didn't play, but you get my point. Mark Ingram takes the ball, gets hammered, and is out for the year with a torn ACL. Lamar Jackson's second play takes an outside handoff on an option play to Gus Edwards, slips, falls, and does something to his ankle. Any given play can result in any given injury for a player, and if Lamar Jackson was put at risk in this game, if the Ravens starters were put at risk in this game, Earl Thomas, right, all these guys needed the rest. Football is an extremely demanding sport. If you give them optimal rest, it will pay off in the long run. And I think that when you look at the Ravens in terms of just how their body is going to heal in the offseason, that week of rest is really underrated. Now, that could just be wishful thinking from me here. But overall, I think the week of rest was the right thing to do for John Harbaugh. And actually getting into the stats now for the Ravens, Robert Griffin III got the opportunity to start. And I think this was almost an audition tape for Robert Griffin III. We talked about it a bit on the show before the game and after the game. I don't know that Robert Griffin III's spot on the Ravens roster is quote-unquote set in stone. He's obviously a great presence in the locker room. He gives the Ravens talent at the backup quarterback position, somebody who is familiar with the system, who can play in the system. But the Ravens drafted Trace McSorley in the sixth round last year, someone who I think they have a lot of confidence in. Robert Griffin III wants to be a starter. He openly said that he is waiting for the opportunity to be a starter. And I think that the Ravens being the organization that they are, I think that they could decide to, hey, look, we have Trace McSorley waiting. We think that he could have a big year one to year two jump if Lamar Jackson gets injured. I would trust the offense to Trace McSorley personally. I think he showed a lot of promise. Now, for Baltimore, they can maybe get a fifth-round pick out of Robert Griffin III, a sixth-round pick out of Robert Griffin III. Eric DaCosta works his magic in ways I don't even know how he does it. So I think the Ravens could get good value out of Robert Griffin III to trade him to a situation where he's able to start or at least compete to start, because we know who the starter is in Baltimore next season. It's Lamar Jackson 100%. But with Robert Griffin III, this is a guy who deserves a chance to start. In this game, he went 11 of 21 for 96 yards. He did throw an interception and have no touchdowns. He also ran 8 times for 50 yards. But Robert Griffin III can still play football. Now, is he an elite option as a starting quarterback? No. But he deserves to be on a team that's maybe in a QB transition from one guy to the other, like Miami was doing last year with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Or maybe a team who, yeah, their quarterback, they have a pretty entrenched starting quarterback, but maybe if he struggles, he could be replaced, like in Chicago with Mitch Trubisky. Didn't have a strong year last year. Is kind of on the hot seat with a lot of people. If he doesn't start out strong, it could be an issue for him. So I think that if you give Robert Griffin III the right situation, he could thrive. And I think the Ravens could be looking at that. But getting back to the game, I mentioned Robert Griffin III, 96 yards and one interception. The Ravens were not a passing team in this game, and they weren't all season. He only had 21 passing attempts. The team as a whole had 44 rushing attempts. Gus Edwards had 21 rushes for 130 yards. This was the Gus Edwards game. Gus the Bus shows that, look, the Ravens need to keep him on the roster, because once Mark Ingram leaves, I think Gus Edwards is the prime candidate to take over. He started last season, and these are all things we talked about before the Steelers game actually happened. He is in a prime position to be a starter somewhere. If it's not in Baltimore, Gus Edwards will be a starting running back for another organization. I think that the Ravens would be wise to keep him, to sign him to an extension, much like they did with Tavon Young, LJ Fort, Patrick Ricard, a lot of guys who contributed, got rewarded for their progress as just a player, and also for the results they produced on the field. Gus Edwards, a monster game in this one. Justice Hill had 10 carries for 39 yards and a touchdown, and then a lot of guys had a rush. Anthony Levine Sr., one rush for 2 yards. DeAnthony Thomas, one rush for 1 yard. Trace McSorley had one rush for 1 yard. Willie Snead and Chris Moore both had one rush each for 0 yards apiece, or I guess combined. So when you look at that, the Ravens made sure to, I don't know, play it safe against the Steelers defense. Now, the Steelers defense in itself has a lot of playmakers on it. Devin Bush led the team with 12 total tackles. Terrell Edmonds and Vince Williams each had 7. T.J. Watt had 5 and had half a sack. J- Javon Hargrave, who's a potential free agent Ravens target, had 5 tackles. Bud Dupree, who could also be a free agent target for the Ravens, 4 total tackles with a sack and a tackle for loss. And also for the Steelers, Steven Nelson, Cam Hayward, Tyson Alualu, Minkah Fitzpatrick all had 4 tackles. For the Ravens on defense, Chuck Clark led the way with 9 tackles. Pina Owosso had 7. Brandon Carr and Chris Wormley had 4 apiece. Marlon Humphrey and Michael Pierce, as well as Justin Ellis, each had 3 for the Ravens. What surprised me most about this defensive performance, though, was the fact that players like Marlon Humphrey and Matthew Judon, they played for most of the game, if not all the game, even Marcus Peters, who had 1 tackle. This was a game where the Ravens were resting their starters, and I think they either should have gone all out or nothing with it. They should have rested everybody or rested nobody. The Ravens were risking injury with these 3 guys on the field. I'm highlighting Judon, Humphrey, and Peters. Peters was a guy who got banged up in week 16 against Cleveland. Very surprising to see him on the field there in week 17. I don't know. The Ravens decided to rest their starters. I think that's what they should have gone with for the entire game. Judon and Humphrey and Peters, look, I thought that this was an opportunity for them to maybe get 1 or 2 possessions like in a preseason game, something that I thought the team should have done regardless, but it ended up being they played the entire game, and who knows? Who knows what it meant in the divisional round, and we can't speculate, but overall, what matters is the Ravens got the win, and this is the last time I'll be saying it, at least in this 2019 season review. At least the Ravens got the win, 28-10 over Pittsburgh. It really didn't matter in the grand scheme of things. The Ravens could have lost, and it all would have been fine. Seeding wouldn't have changed. Division crown wouldn't have changed hands, but the Ravens end up winning a game with their B squad. We're going to head to break here, but when we get back, we're going to be talking about the Ravens divisional round game against the Tennessee Titans, so stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. Welcome back to the second segment of this Locked on Ravens episode on a Wednesday. Kevin Ostreicher is still with you here, and we just got into our final win of the 2019 season for Baltimore, and I say that with a really heavy heart as we now have to do the tough stuff and talk about the Ravens' divisional round loss to the Tennessee Titans. Now, I know this is not the way that I wanted this 2019 season recap to have ended, but we have to do it. We have to talk about it, so take a deep breath, and here we go. The Ravens lose to the Tennessee Titans 28-12 in the divisional round, a game where the Ravens just, no, the number one thing here is the Ravens got away from who they were. The Ravens passed the ball, Lamar Jackson passed the ball 59 times, and he had a total of 70 dropbacks, or some absurd number like that. The Ravens only ran the ball 29 times. And now at a certain point in this game, the Ravens just weren't generating anything on offense, and at some point, the Ravens had to move away from their run-heavy set. The Ravens made a living on running the ball, running the clock out, weakening opponents throughout the game, but Baltimore just really didn't have that luxury. The Ravens went into halftime down 14-6. The Titans scored 14 points in the third quarter, and the Ravens were only able to score 6 points throughout the rest of the game from halftime on. 6 points in the second quarter, 6 points in the fourth quarter. For Baltimore, there were a lot of decisions here that you think about and say, okay, could they have gone a different way if the play call was different? In particular, the 2 fourth down calls, I think the Ravens should have gone for it on both of those decisions. I think John Harbaugh made the right decision. It was a decision he was making all season long. But the play calling. The first play was disaster. It was a 4th-and-1. And a team like the Ravens, you just should hand the ball off to Mark Ingram or hand the ball off to Gus Edwards or just have Lamar Jackson literally run a dive up the middle. But what the Ravens did was kind of had a delayed run where they were expecting a hole to open and have Lamar Jackson dart through it. It just did not work. Lamar Jackson gets stuffed in Tennessee ball. The second thing, kind of more the same, more of a dive play, but Lamar Jackson kind of followed a guy. What you see with these Tom Brady sneaks and these Aaron Rodgers sneaks, Patrick Mahomes sneaks, they just run straight up the middle. They don't care if they get 1 yard. That's the yard they need. The Ravens on 4th-and-1 and 4th-and-inches should be an unstoppable team based off of the lineups they present, the offensive line they have, and the quarterback and running back personnel that they have on the field. Greg Roman, in my opinion, not his best day as a play caller. I mean, the 59 pass attempts, 70 dropbacks. I don't know where that was coming from. I think the Ravens just abandoned it too early. The Ravens were down 28-6 with 4:16 left in the third quarter after Ryan Tannehill scored on a 1 yard touchdown run. Where I think the Ravens lost this game was 14-6 coming out of halftime. The Ravens had the ball, had the ability to tie up the football game, and you look at what happened in the play calling here. Lamar Jackson passing complete on first down. Lamar Jackson ran it on second down, scrambled on third down, then incomplete deep, then Mark Ingram ran. Then on third and three, there was a pass short middle that he completed. Then it was Lamar Jackson incompletion, Lamar Jackson run, Lamar Jackson scramble, Lamar Jackson incomplete, Lamar Jackson short middle, Gus Edwards up the middle, and then Lamar Jackson up the middle. A good balance of run and pass, but I would still like to see it more based in the run game. After that possession, it just went all downhill. The next possession after a Tennessee touchdown to make it 21-6, first play, Lamar Jackson gets sacked by Jarrell Casey, fumbles the football, and Tennessee gets the ball at the Baltimore 20. It's just a lot of plays that, you know, one play, two play, three play could have happened and in a different way, and it could have gone a different way, but that just wasn't the case. It's not that the Ravens didn't seem prepared, it's just that they didn't execute, and I think it really comes back to the play calling. I'm going to say it, and I'll say it again. The play calling was not great, and I think if a few plays get called differently here or there by Greg Roman, this game could be drastically different. Now, of course, there's the interception where Mark Andrews couldn't elevate based off of his bum ankle, tips off his hands into the arms of a Titans defender. The Ravens were driving. They just couldn't get the job done. It was all about the Ravens finishing in the red zone, finishing their drives that they were making moves on, that they were moving the football with. That's something that helped the Ravens win 14 games. And that's not something that we saw out of the Ravens when it came time to do it in the playoffs against Tennessee. Over the last 2 years, two subpar playoff performances, and it's gotten John Harbaugh the choke narrative, the Ravens team the choke narrative. I mean, Marlon Humphrey said it himself, this team does great in the regular season, then just chokes in the playoffs. And it's not an unfair assessment. It was disappointing. It wasn't fun to watch. Hollywood Brown had an exceptional game. I mean, getting into the stats I mentioned, Lamar Jackson, 31 of 59 for 365 yards, one touchdown and two interceptions. I mean, Lamar Jackson was literally doing everything because on top of that, 20 carries for 143 yards. I mean, this guy just putting the entire city of Baltimore on his back, the entire Ravens team. Mark Ingram clearly wasn't ready to play. He only had 6 carries for 22 yards. Gus Edwards only 3 for 20 yards. When your top two running backs are Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards, and they've performed so well the entire season, the fact that they had 9 carries between the two of them is absolutely absurd. And now, sure, you can say, yeah, well, Mark Ingram wasn't healthy. Well, fine, then give it to Gus Edwards. I mean, you have the guys. I mean, Justice Hill didn't get a carry in the game. I don't even know if that happened throughout the entire Ravens season, maybe once or twice. On the receiving end, Marquise Brown, 7 receptions for 126 yards on 11 targets, making play after play, contested catch after contested catch. Him and Lamar Jackson are what kept the Ravens in this game, and no, Lamar Jackson did not have the best game by any means. He seemed a bit rattled by the playoff atmosphere for the second year in a row. But look, this guy's only 23 years old. He just finished his second season in the NFL. There is room for growth for Lamar Jackson. So I'm not overly concerned with the performance. I mean, yes, it's disappointing, but I mean, the second best receiver on the team was Willie Snead, who had 6 receptions for 56 yards. Hayden Hurst, 4 for 53. Mark Andrews, 4 for 39. The Ravens need another playmaker outside of Hollywood Brown, and they're going to get it in the offseason. And when it happens, it'll be dangerous. For the Ravens on defense, Earl Thomas had 7 tackles. Brandon Williams and Josh Bynes had 6 apiece. Michael Pierce, 5. Patrick Owosso, 4. Chris Wormley and Matt Judon, 3. And the rest had 2 or below. I think Marcus Peters played really well. Really kept the Ravens in this football game, to be honest. Stopping the run, playing the pass. Marlon Humphrey, not his best day on the slot. Gave up a really long touchdown pass to Khalif Raymond on a play where he just got absolutely burned. There's no way to sugarcoat it. He got burned. And it's difficult to talk about and difficult to, you know, hear things about it and say, oh, this Ravens team was a fake. This Ravens team didn't get it done. Yeah, they didn't get it done, but I'm not necessarily saying they're a fake. I don't think they're a fake. It's difficult to assess this Ravens team because they are so young. Yes, they didn't get the job done. Yes, it was disappointing. There are a lot of things, a lot of narratives have been placed on this Ravens team, and, you know, it's going to be a long offseason to hear about it, and even long season next year. You know, the Ravens are most likely going to make the playoffs. I'm not going to jinx anything, but it's more than likely this team makes the playoffs. Once they get there, the question is going to be, will Lamar Jackson do it? Will Lamar Jackson be able to do it? Is Lamar Jackson fit for crunch time, right? All this different stuff. So this game was disappointing. Not going to talk about it anymore. We're done with it. We ripped the Band-Aid off. But overall, disappointing performance. The Ravens did not get the win. And ultimately, their impressive season ended when it mattered most. We are going to go to our final break now, but when we return, we're going to be getting into an overall season recap, kind of recapping everything we've gone through, plus doing some takeaways, so stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. Welcome back to the final segment here of our Locked on Ravens Wednesday edition episode. Kevin Ostreicher is still with you here. And we just finished up. We wrapped it up, our 2019 season review. It's been a few weeks since we started doing it. And it's been a fun journey. I mean, talking about all those wins. I'm sorry we had to end on a bit of a sour note there. But that's just how the season ended for Baltimore. But now that that's all wrapped up, I want to talk about the takeaways from this Ravens season, this historic season for Baltimore, in which the team went 14-2. I mean, the best record in franchise history. I mean, that's an accomplishment in its own. Lamar Jackson finishing up his MVP campaign with 36 touchdowns through the air, just 6 interceptions. So I just want to run through a few takeaways here, and I actually wrote an article for takeaways for the Ravens 2019 season. If you want to check it out on RavensWire, it is up and it is ready for you to look at. But we're just going to start out with Lamar Jackson here saying that he's the real deal. And that's really a big takeaway for me, probably the most important takeaway, because there were questions for Lamar Jackson coming into the season about, okay, is he the real deal? I mean, he put up impressive numbers as a rookie, and that was in a system that wasn't even made for him, right? It was the Joe Flacco system. Joe Flacco goes down. Lamar Jackson has to step into an offense that's not really catered for his skill set and did a pretty admirable job at it. But with those 36 touchdowns, he threw for 3,127 yards. But I think the safest and the best stride that Lamar Jackson made in his game had to be with what he did with his body, how he was able to keep his body healthy. Understand that, again, football is a pretty dangerous game, folks. It's something that any given injury can happen on any given play. I guess that's a saying. I might trademark it, but you just have to understand that with Lamar Jackson and his style of play is sustainable, okay? We're going to put that to bed. What Lamar Jackson just has to do in order to make it sustainable and keep it sustainable is be smart with his body. And that's what he did throughout the year. He made sure to step out of bounds when, yeah, he could have gotten an extra 1 or 2 yards here or there, but he might have gotten hit and he might have paid for it. It's a lot better for the Ravens and for Ravens fans, for Lamar Jackson, for everybody involved, if Lamar Jackson just sacrifices those 1 or 2 yards so that he can play for 1 or 2 more seasons, right? I mean, I'd take that trade in a heartbeat. Lamar Jackson did that and improved, and that was phenomenal to see. He also improved with his footwork. He read the field a lot better. He threw better spirals, and he actually had a lot better accuracy and a lot fewer turnovers. Lamar Jackson fumbled the football a lot last year, made some mistakes in his throws, but if you're counting his interceptions, the 60 threw in the regular season, I'm really only seeing one, the one against Pittsburgh, which I've harped on a lot, that was really his fault. Some of them weren't even interceptions. Some of them were dropped by receivers or tipped up in the air. So I'm not necessarily putting a lot of emphasis on those interceptions, because I think he really improved, is an accurate passer, is a player who just read the field a lot better and understood the situations that he was in, the coverages that were being there. He was able to read plays as they were developing, look through reads, his first read, his second read, his third read. A lot of improvement from Lamar Jackson, and it's going to be really exciting to see what he can do with another year of improvement, working out with Hollywood Brown for a full offseason, Willie Snead. Hopefully the Ravens bring in some more weapons for him, but the Ravens have laid the foundation for Lamar Jackson. And if he follows that, it's going to be an exciting, exciting time in Baltimore. But do you know why it's going to also be an exciting time in Baltimore for years to come? Because the Ravens literally had no drop-off from Ozzie Newsome to Eric DaCosta. DaCosta took over as the general manager last season in the full capacity. He now runs the front office, and those are pretty big shoes to fill. Ozzie Newsome is saying, "In Ozzie, we trust." But I think with DaCosta, absolute home run in his first offseason. I mean, let's start with the draft. He nailed it, right? He drafted Marquise Brown in the first round. He nabbed falling talent like Jalen Ferguson. He drafted Miles Boykin. And those were all players that, yeah, they came with their own red flags. But I think that with those guys, he saw the value. He understood that this coaching staff can really do a lot of things with these players. David Culley came in as a wide receiver coach, did a phenomenal job with Hollywood Brown. Miles Boykin showed some strides, right? There were a lot of things, and Jalen Ferguson even came on as a pass rusher late in the season as an option when the Ravens really didn't have a lot of options to say. So I think that with Eric DaCosta, he made sure to make the right moves. He made sure to draft the positions of need. And so with the draft coming up, with the combine hitting stride right now, I think that it's important to just look back at what Eric DaCosta did in his first season, and I'm not expecting anything less in his second full season and having a full year to kind of grasp the front office role and be in that position, kind of get to know everybody a bit better in his new role. I think this offseason is going to be a home run, especially the draft, but let's look back to last offseason as well. He used the cap space. He signed Earl Thomas to upgrade the free safety position after Eric Weddle left. He also, in my opinion, had the biggest deal of free agency, signing Mark Ingram to that 3-year, $15 million deal. 15 touchdowns for a man on a $15 million deal, that's $1 million a touchdown, and the contract is only in 1 year, one or three. So that was a great deal for him, but where I think DaCosta really made his mark was during the season. The Ravens, after weeks 3 and 4, we've heard the story millions of times, signing LJ Fort, signing Josh Bynes, making sure that guys were going to be held accountable for not performing well, and he knew that there were holes to be addressed. He went out there, signed some guys off the scrap heap, and boy, were they not just scraps, they were key contributors to this Ravens defense. Marcus Peters in week 7, the trade, the big one, right? Trading Kenny Young in a 5th-round pick for Marcus Peters. Like, what kind of nonsense is that? Absolutely magic. He's a magician. He's a wizard. I don't even know what to call him at this point. All of that, just that for Marcus Peters, unbelievable. Marcus Peters comes in, provides a stable option on the outside. In his first game with the Ravens, has a pick 6. I mean, a momentum-changing play that might have arguably won the Ravens the game. Unbelievable from Eric DaCosta. I mean, he easily could have traded 2 first-round picks for then-Jaguars cornerback Jalen Ramsey, but he ended up acquiring a player who ended up being a lot more productive and a lot cheaper as well. Ramsey's going to command a lot of money on the open market. Plus, not having 2 first-round picks, that would be tough for the Ravens to swallow over these next 2 seasons, especially with Lamar Jackson still on his rookie contract. But moving on to takeaway number 3, Baltimore can handle the adversity. There was so much that they had to go through throughout this entire season. I mean, let's start with the injuries. Jimmy Smith went down with an injury just 6 snaps into week 1. Marquise Brown had his Lisfranc injury. He missed a lot of training camp, and he wasn't at 100%. The news we'll talk about tomorrow when we have more time to talk about it is that he had surgery just yesterday to have a screw removed in his foot. So that's going to help him get back to 100%, not have that screw bother him. But the Ravens had to deal with having Tony Jefferson out with injury, Pernell McPhee out with injury, Deshaun Elliott out with injury. Tavon Young, before the season even started, was out with an injury. I mean, that's a lot of people, a lot of defensive personnel. I mean, Matt Skura and the offense went down. A lot of things to keep in mind, and Mark Ingram injured, Mark Andrews injured. A lot of players got injured for Baltimore, and injuries happen. But the Ravens really had a lot to overcome, and I think they did that on the injury front. Also, their schedule. They had a tough, tough schedule. They faced 6 playoff teams in the regular season, and they went 5-1 against that group. They also had to play Kansas City, Seattle, and Buffalo away from M&T Bank Stadium. And that's pretty tough because those 3 places are 3 of the toughest places to play in the NFL. I mean, it was crazy to see how well the Ravens played against top teams, something where the Ravens can kind of fall into traps of losing to bottom-tier teams and not playing well against top teams. The Ravens, I mean, they did it against both, and there were some games that weren't their strongest, but they did a great job of managing their schedule and making sure to play hard every single week. And I mean, also, I mentioned the fact that they really had a target on their back, and this Ravens organization is not known for that. They're known for being the underdogs, right? They slither in and, you know, watch out. The Ravens come in from nowhere and surprise people. But this season, they were the talk of town for the whole season, so their mistakes were magnified and their successes were kind of washed away. And as for an organization that's used to be playing in the shadows, it was pretty new. So I think that next year with the Ravens now having that familiar feeling, having the target on their back, they'll know what it's like. And I think that'll help them a lot coming into next season. And finally, there's room for improvement. I mean, they were 14-2. They were the number one seed in the AFC. They had a 14-2 record. So many accomplishments, so many accolades. But there are some things that need improvement. First of all, the pass rush. I mean, they're ranked in the bottom third of the league in sacks. And Matthew Judon is obviously heading to free agency. The Ravens need another receiver. We've talked about it, whether it be in the first round, whether they draft a guy later, whether they sign A.J. Green or Amari Cooper. There are a lot of options for Baltimore, and I think that they should be able to capitalize on them. I mean, they also could use some inside linebackers, right? LJ Fort, Josh Bynes, really good stopgap options, but they both are free agents. Pina Lawaso, also a free agent as well. So the Ravens really only have Otara Alaka on the roster at inside linebacker. Do they bring back Bynes and Fort? Or do they go out, draft a guy in the early rounds, Patrick Queen, Kenneth Murray? Do they sign a Joe Schobert? There's a lot of room for improvement, and so while I think that Baltimore is in great position to win the Super Bowl, the reason I think that next year is their year is because of all the assets they have in free agency with the cap room, with the draft and their draft capital. The Ravens are going to be something special in 2020 and 2021, so don't discount it, and I'm still going to say it, the Ravens will be the Super Bowl champions in the 2020-2021 season. That's all I have for you today, but when we get back tomorrow, we're going to be talking about some more Ravens football, some more Ravens news, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.